This week's changing track is for Kirsten. It's my birthday tomorrow as I write this, but I'm already reading a birthday card. It reads, "To my darling Kirsten, wishing you a very happy birthday. The next year is full of lots of exciting things, and I hope all your expectations are exceeded. If I could have loved you for all of your 46 years, I would have. Lots of love, Andrew. Kiss, 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 hug, hug, hug." That was 10 years ago. The future was bright. Andrew and I were in the process of building our new home. Our daughter was turning 10 and had a new school, which she was so excited about. But most importantly, after having had Andrew commute to work in Sydney for the past 6 years, he'd organised a transfer back to Melbourne so we could be together full time. Oh, and Collingwood were in the process of becoming 2010 premiers. It was just after Christmas that year that we knew something was just not right. Subtle symptoms were dismissed. We spent extra time in South Australia that summer, foregoing a doctor's appointment so we could get to Adelaide to Andrew's mum, who'd been diagnosed with cancer. But Andrew's symptoms became increasingly worrisome. So Andrew got to the doctor's, tests were carried out, and the diagnosis was made. Andrew had esophageal cancer. From February 4 until May 19, it was a blur. In the midst of building a house, moving home, getting our daughter settled in school, we were also on the cancer roller coaster. You grasp any suggestion of hope, but unfortunately, the hope was always taken away. When Andrew acknowledged that the disease had the better of him, it was time to make him comfortable and say our goodbyes. Then came the gut-wrenching, all-consuming grief. Being just so sad, literally feeling pain as a consequence, being dragged down into the depths of depression, and above all, just missing the love of my life. I hated feeling like this, so I tried to fix it. Painkillers, blame others, alcohol, move house, renovate the house, binge food, blame me, move interstate, travel, buy stuff, get a job, quit my job, hide under the doona, binge mindless TV shows, try to find an alternative life partner. It went on and on. And I wasn't just trying to fix it or understand for myself, but also for our beautiful girl. That's not to say that time was all pain and dread. There have been times where I've thought, I've got a handle on it. I'm feeling good. Fun times have been had. But then something happens and the grief is back. As is the question, why? Tragic events don't stop, and there's been a run of them this year. And with those events comes grief. With the COVID slowdown forced upon us, it's provided the time and space to enable me to clearly reflect and process. So now, coming up to 10 years of not physically having Andrew by my side, I finally know all I had to do, all I can do is just let it be. That in time, it all gets worked through and a sense of peace does return. Andrew's funeral was a beautiful tribute to a beautiful man. A church overflowing with dear friends and family. His childhood priest came out of retirement to officiate. There were heartfelt eulogies and the 2010 Premiership Cup on the altar. And the coffin carried out to good old Collingwood forever. Even when we were planning all this, I thought something was missing. We needed the cherry on top. I was with Andrew's best friend, Peter, and his wife, Leslie, when she suggested we needed something like Elton John singing at Princess Diana's funeral. I agreed. Peter said, "Leave it with me." So we had a live performance of the Beatles' Let It Be, and never was a truer word sung. It's just that it took me 10 years to figure that out. I love you, Andrew. Always have and always will. Funny thing, sometime after his funeral, I got into his ute, which I never used to get into, and guess which CD he had in the player? Yes, the Beatles' Let It Be. And that is Kirsten's changing track.